Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our morning service. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we're thankful to all that have been able to gather with us on this lovely Sabbath morning. Just the words of Romans 8 and 29, they're in keeping with our theme a little later in the service. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's especially those words in the middle of the verse, to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're going to commence the service as we sing together the words of the first psalm, that man hath perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The words of the first psalm, and we'll invite you to stand as we sing together, please. Just in prayer, please. Our God and Father, we come to Thee in prayer, conscious that You're the Holy God of heaven. We want to ask, Father, that You might still and solemnize our hearts as we enter in before Thee in the attitude of prayer. Your word says that You're to be had in reverence of all them that are about Thee. And Lord, we ask Thee to grant to us even today the fear of God as we gather in Thy house. We want to pray, Father, that You'll take from our hearts and minds all those things that would be a distraction to us as we come to worship Thee and come to hear Thy word. We want to pray, Father, that You'll put Your hand of blessing upon the service, even from the very outset. Our prayer is that You'll lead us on with Yourself. We desire to go on with God. We desire to grow in grace. We pray, Father, that this meeting might be the means of building each one of us up in the things of God. Your word says that we're to add to our faith. So we're praying, Father, that you'll use the meetings today, that we might be strengthened in the things of God. We want to pray that we'll leave the meeting this morning the better for having been in thy house. We want to pray that you'll bring us a little closer in the fellowship with Christ, our Saviour. And even, Father, as we think of the words that was read at the beginning of the meeting, our desire would be to be conformed to the image of your Son. We want to pray that you'll make us more like Christ. Put your hand upon our lives. We remember the words that we often sing, that I am, or that he is the potter and I am the clay. So we pray, Father, that you'll shape our lives and mould our lives. We want to pray that you'll keep each one of us going on with God. We're conscious, Father, of all the temptations, all the attractions, even all the diversions that the devil would put before us. So we earnestly pray, Father, keep us on the narrow way. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us, Father, from falling into sin, doing those things that would be displeasing in thy sight. We ask thee, Father, to help us today through the meeting. Thank you for the opportunity to sing your praises. We thank you for the words that we've sung together already to your glory. That man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray. And Lord, we're conscious of our own weakness. We cry to thee today to help us. We cry, Father, that you'll guide us through this week and all that lies ahead, with all the challenges, the pressures, the demands of life in this generation in which we're found. We do need thee, Father, to uphold us with the right hand of your righteousness. We remember the promise too, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Lord, give us the strength that we need just for each one, each member of this church, and the pressures, the situations in which each finds themselves. We pray, Father, as we're gathered here even now in prayer, you'll help us to bring our burdens unto thyself. Your word says, remember the psalmist exhorted us to cast our burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain us. We remember, Father, those in the meeting, those in our families that are still out of Christ, that heavy burden of sin, even as Mr. Bunyan described in his Pilgrim's Progress, we pray that they might get to the cross, even today, by faith, and that they might be able to cast the burden of their sin even upon thyself. Lord, own our meetings today. Give us a special time in the house of God. Grant us a real deep and blessed sense of the Lord's presence in the midst. Bless us today, Father, with salvation. We thank you for what has taken place even before this meeting. The children, the young people, thank you for each one. Lord, we ask thee to add to that work, add to all our children's and youth works. We plead with thee, Father, to give the increase. We ask, Father, that you'll be pleased to bring in people from the area too. Our burden, our desire is that this church, this witness in Armagh might be carried on for many, many years to come. We're conscious, Father, we need others to come even to sustain the work, to strengthen our hands. Our prayer, Father, today is that you'll maintain this church as a faithful, separated witness in this city until the Saviour comes again. And Lord, we want to ask, put your hand upon all the work among the children. Encourage all that are involved in that work today. We pray, Lord, we ask that there'll be salvation even among the children. Bless the families, the faithful parents of this church, bringing their little ones up in the fear of God, teaching them the scriptures from their earliest days. We pray that you'll encourage them, answer their prayers. Save every child in this church, young in life. Keep your hand upon them, Lord, even in those teenage years and in early life, when there's so many temptations, the pressures of peers to go astray in the things of God. Lord, we want to ask thee, keep our young people, keep them going on with God. We pray that they'll go on with thee day by day, even as the psalmist said, that you'll lead them in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake. Remember, Father, the office bearers of this church and their responsibilities. Encourage them. We pray that you'll bless their labors. We pray for guidance and direction to be given in every meeting. We pray for the mind of God to be known. Remember that Paul spoke about the care of all the churches and the office bearers of this congregation as they look after the care of this church, the responsibility of it, and the members. Lord, bless their labors, we ask of thee. And Lord, even again, as we think of the future years, we pray that you'll send in and raise up men in this church that will be able to be put into office and to carry on that work and shoulder the burden of the responsibility of this congregation. Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the one that sees the need. You're the one that provides the need. And Lord, we ask you to hear our cries, even in that regard. We pray that you'll bless the media ministry of this church. We thank you for all that are involved in that work, for the dedication that is given to it, the time that is spent upon it. And Lord, we thank you for encouragements for those that have come into the meetings as a result of it, those that are hearing the services here, even across the earth in other lands. Lord, bless that work very definitely. Bless it to the saving of souls, to the building up of your people. We pray, Father, that the brethren that are involved in that work will be given much fruit, even for their labors. We pray the same, Father, for the outreach, the literature that goes out into this city. Lord, we just want to thank you for every open door you've given to us as a congregation, great and effectual doors. Help us never to lose sight of the vision of the work that you've given us to do. And Lord, our prayer would be, open other doors of opportunity to us, even in this new year. Lord, we ask thee to do that for us. Open doors of utterance, doors whereby, as a congregation, we'll be able to spread the gospel of Christ even further in this district and even further across the world. We're mindful, Father, of the situation again in the Ukraine. We ask today for the intervention of God. We pray for the intervention of heaven in that situation. We remember, Father, the people of both of those lands, Ukraine and even in Russia. We're conscious that many Russians are not sympathetic or supportive of the action being taken by their leader and their government. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll do at this time what you did in the days of Esther. Remember how you confounded Haman and his plans resulted in his own downfall. We pray that you might do the same even at this stage, Father, at this time on the international stage. We remember your people, especially in those lands, and all their needs. We do not know them personally, but we're conscious that you're your people. We have the common faith of the gospel. We're redeemed by the same Savior, washed in the same blood. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll sustain them even in these days of great difficulty and hardship and persecution. We thank you for enabling them to carry on with the witness, even in great hardship. But Lord, help us to be even more appreciative of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, even today. But Lord, we remember all that are seeking to give support and aid to those lands and to the churches at this time. Strengthen their hands and bless their labors abundantly, we pray of thee. So answer these, our cries, Father. Continue with us this morning. And we pray that the power and the blessing of God will come down upon these meetings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read a few verses, please, in the book of Acts. We're in the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 7. Just toward the end of the chapter. It's a lengthy chapter of God's Word. So the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, the 51st verse. Remember, these are words that are written about Stephen. Chapter 7 in the main is the sermon that Stephen preached before the Jewish leaders. So he's coming near the end of that message. He's driving home the message to their hearts very clearly and forcefully. He says to them in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So ending just there, the close of the chapter. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. I want to thank you for your presence with us today. It's encouraging to have such a good turnout on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence at the morning meeting. There's still some that are unwell, prevented from being out, some away at this time. But we're very thankful to all that have gathered. We see Mr. and Mrs. Moore visiting with us from Enniskillen. We give to them a special word of welcome into the service this morning. But we do pray that together we'll know the Lord's presence and we'll hear his voice speaking to us from his word. Remember the meeting tonight, 6 o'clock, the time of prayer downstairs. Half past 6 is the gospel service. We're hoping by half past 7 we'll be drawn near to a close. So remember the gospel service at half past 6. The theme in the gospel tonight is the wisest thing in life. So I want to invite you to come along and share with us again this evening. Keep in mind Tuesday night at 6:45 is the children's bright hours. The meeting here in meeting here in the church, and also the meeting down in the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday night at 8 is our midweek service. I hope to be speaking myself, going to bring a presentation on Wednesday night on the life of Samuel Zwemer and the founding of the Arabian Mission. He was one of the most greatly used missionaries among the Islamic people. The end of the 19th, the beginning of the 20th century. I'd like you to know just a little about Samuel Zwemer and about his life. We need to get a burden and a vision to reach the Muslims with the message of the Gospels. Remember that special presentation, God willing, this coming Wednesday evening. Keep in mind the broadcasts on Radio Star Country that we're involved in. Those are at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon on 981 Medium Wave. Friday at 8 is the Youth Fellowship meeting, and our young brother Matthew Muldrew, one of our youth leaders, Matthew will be bringing the message to the young people on Friday night. So we invite you to come along. We want to make that special emphasis just to all of the young people of Youth Fellowship age. We invite you to come along to hear Matthew on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 13th of March, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40, the morning meeting at 11:30, the evening gospel service at 6:30. It's preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I'll be preaching at both of those meetings myself. The next meeting of the church committee is Monday the 14th of March. That's Monday night week. Just to remind all the members of the committee of that meeting. Just to highlight as well that we're planning to have extra nights of prayer, two extra evenings of prayer. That's Monday the 21st and Tuesday the 22nd of March, in just a little over 2 weeks' time. So there'll be times of prayer on the Monday night, the Tuesday night, and then the regular midweek meeting on the Wednesday night. So that'll just be for an hour from 8 to 9 each evening. We want to encourage you to keep those nights free and come along and be present and join with us at the place of prayer. The Mission Board is making an appeal for Ukraine to help the churches and those that have had to flee, the refugees, as a result of that conflict. They're going to send the support out to the Faith in Action ministry that's led up by our brother Donald Fleming. We've had Donald along to testify and to report to us in the past. Also, they're going to send funds to the Slavic Gospel Association. The Reverend Derek Maxwell has also been along with us on at least two occasions to report on the work in which they're engaged in. And in addition to that, they're going to send some funds to some of the churches in Romania as they're taking in some of the refugees from Ukraine at this time. You can send the gift directly down to the Mission Board, or there is the donate button on their website if you'd like to give in that way. There's already been £18,000 that has been given or been received by the Mission Board for that appeal already. So the details is on the Facebook page of our congregation here in Armagh. We posted that just towards the end of the week. If you'd like to give a gift through the church, you can do that as well. If you want to put that on the plate in an envelope and mark it, the Ukraine Mission Board appeal. The Bethany Church is having a youth rally this evening, 8:45. Our brother Donald Fleming, that we mentioned just a few moments ago, he's going to be the speaker. He's going to give a report to the young people, an up-to-date report on what's going on among the churches in the Ukraine, the help that they're seeking to give to those churches just at this time. David Warwick from the Ballymena Church is to be the singer, and there's going to be some refreshments served to the young people afterwards as well. The Tully Valon Church is having a week of ministry meetings this incoming week, every night at 8 o'clock. The speaker is the Reverend Timothy Nelson, the minister of the Tully Valon, or sorry, not the Tully Valon, the Tyndale Church in Belfast, and also the principal of the Whitfield College. The theme that our brother is going to speak upon is Wanted New Testament Churches. So any of the nights that you're free this incoming week, if you can, go along to Tully Valon and give your support to them in those special ministry meetings. The Consider Christ outreach team have asked us to highlight that they're recommencing their outreaches at the end of this month. The first is going to be on Saturday the 26th of March. That's just in a little under 3 weeks. They're going to County Cavan through this incoming year with the outreach literature and the invitations. Contact the Reverend Jonathan Crane of the Convoy Church if you want to be a part of any of those teams. The Reverend Kirkscaddon's also a leader in that, but at present the Reverend Kirkscaddon's out ministering in Uganda. So do pray much. We have highlighted that in the prayer meetings already. Do pray much for the Consider Christ outreach as it recommences again. The latest edition of the Vision magazine came during the past week. That's the March edition. So there's copies of that at both doors of the church. Take your copy as you leave the services today. Just a couple of matters that came from the presbytery meeting on Friday night past. There is going to be some Easter convention meetings this year. They've decided to have two meetings, one on the Friday evening and then the other on the Monday evening. So keep that in mind. Easter falls a wee bit later. It's just slightly over halfway through April. But keep those meetings in mind. There'll be more details that will follow as the arrangements are firmed up and finalised. So that's Good Friday and Easter Monday, those two evenings. There'll be meetings held down in Martyrs. Just with regard to Mr. Andrew Foster and his wife Hannah and little Rachel, just an update for you on their circumstances. They now feel that the Lord has called them home from their labours there in Uganda. There is a statement that the Mission Board has prepared for the churches on that subject. Just let me read that to you. We thank you for your ongoing prayerful and practical support for Andrew, Hannah and Rachel Foster as they have laboured for the Lord in Uganda. It is therefore with great sadness that we report that after prayerful consideration, Andrew has reported to the Mission Board that he now feels the Lord is calling them home. As a Mission Board, we express our thanks and deep appreciation to Andrew and Hannah for their service in Uganda over the past few years. During that time, Andrew has worked diligently and skillfully to improve and expand the facilities at Emmanuel Christian School. And Hannah has assisted in the development and management of our Orphans and Vulnerable Children's Program. We would ask you to pray for Andrew, Hannah, and little Rachel at this time, especially that the Lord would lead them for the future. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So please do keep the Fosters in your prayers just for the Lord's direction for coming days. Just to mention to you about Uganda, the electrical team arrived late yesterday evening, along with the Reverend Kerskadon. They had gone out on Friday morning. The Reverend Kerskadon ministered at the meeting today. He'll be doing that for the next three Lord's Days, and the electrical team will commence their work in the morning. That's finalising the rewiring of the school, and then finalising the installation of the switchboard and the mains electric. So do keep them in your prayers. It's a very hot spell there just at present, hot conditions for them to be working in. They have a lot to fit in the next couple of weeks, so pray the Lord will prosper them. The Reverend Morris Baxter and his wife Chrismar, they'll be travelling out on Monday the 21st of March, arriving, God willing, on the 22nd. The Reverend Kerskadon will be travelling home on the Thursday the 24th, and Miss McAfee will be coming home with him at that stage to commence her furlough. So you can appreciate there's quite a wee bit going on. Miss McAfee's furlough is going to be broken up. She's not going to be home for the entire 6 or 7 months that had originally been planned because of just the events, the circumstances of recent weeks. So she'll be coming home for a little while over the summer period, or she'll be coming home for a little while up until about the middle of May, and then going back for a while and coming back, God willing, in August to complete her furlough. So remember all of those matters, that the Lord will keep his hand upon them, give direction, and keep the work at Emmanuel going forward, even with all of the challenges that are being faced just at this time. We're going to sing the words that's on the screen, make them our earnest prayer as we come to the scriptures today. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, and more of his love who died for me. So hymn 406, and we'll rise to sing, please.
I know the more of his grace.
Turning, please, to Acts chapter 7. The 7th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll take a moment to seek the Lord. Father, we give thee thanks for your hand upon the circumstances that prevail at this time. We thank you, Father, for the improvement in the situation regarding the pandemic. And we thank you as a result of that, that many activities are but opened up and recommencing again. We ask that they've been able to go forward unhindered. We pray, Father, that you'll bless the Consider Christ Outreach, Remember County Cavan. We pray that a good number will gather at the end of the month. And Lord, as the literature goes out, we ask thee to use it. We pray that you'll speak to hearts. We pray there'll be those that even over these months of crisis that you'll have been speaking to about their soul, about eternal things. We pray that the literature might be the very message that they need to receive and to hear at this time. We thank you, Father, for the plans for the Easter meetings. Put your hand upon them, the fellowship again of God's people from across our congregations. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of God will come down upon those meetings. We pray that you'll use them. We're mindful, too, of the Mission Board conference to be held in the month of May. All the preparations, may the hand of God be upon it. Lord, we pray for the renewing of our vision, of the work to be done, the souls to be reached. We pray, Father, that we'll hear that Macedonian call that Paul received in the night to come over and give help. We pray, Father, that all our hearts will be challenged of the vast work of reaching souls all across the earth. We pray that you'll bless the work in Emmanuel at this time. Encourage Miss McAfee. We remember the Reverend Kerskadon as he ministers these weeks. Bless the brethren that have gone out to do that vital, practical work. Keep them safe. We ask thee, Father, to prosper their labours. We pray that they'll be able to do all that they've gone out to work at. We pray that that job will be completed within the time that they're going to be there. And Lord, we're asking even that there will be from all our churches a sending forth of other labourers in the weeks ahead, the months ahead, into the great harvest fields of the world. So hear our cries. Come and be with us, Father, now. Bless your word to our hearts. We ask thee just to open up the book of God to us. In the words of the hymn writer, we would pray, break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Hear these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7. We'd ask you to think especially of the words at the end of the verse, or the end of the chapter. It says of Stephen, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We've been thinking of some Bible characters in a little series over recent weeks. We thought 2 weeks ago about Nehemiah, then in conjunction with that last week, we looked a little at Artaxerxes, the Persian king, under whom Nehemiah labored in the palace, and it was with his authority then that Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to engage in the great work to which the Lord had called him. We're going to think today about the life of Stephen. I want you to think of it under the theme of the marks of a Christ-centered life. If you think of the question at the beginning, ponder it carefully. What does it mean to be a Christian? Or what does it mean to live the Christian life? That's a good question for every child of God. We speak about the Christian life. We often talk about the life of the Christian. But what does that really mean, brethren and sisters? What is really involved in the Christian life? You will know there's a lot of confusion in church circles on that issue. But if your life is really and truly to be the life of a Christian, what should that include? I would suggest to you this morning that the life of Stephen holds the answer to that question. We could describe Stephen as a model Christian. His life is held up in the Word of God as a pattern, a very clear pattern for all of us to follow. Remember that Stephen was a deacon, one of the first deacons of the New Testament church. What that means is that every office bearer should read and should study carefully and prayerfully the life of Stephen. Here's a model for you to follow. Here's the standard for you. And his life is the standard that you need to strive after. But remember that he's also an example as a Christian. So that means he's an example for every one of us in the meeting here today. And a study of Stephen's life will show exactly what it means to live the life of a Christian. You just think for a moment of that name, Christian, remember, found in three places in the New Testament scriptures. The name or the term Christian literally means Christ's one. It indicates that as a Christian, your life is not all about self, not all about money, not all about fame and possessions and position. Your life should be all about Christ. Living the Christian life, men and women, means living for Christ. That sums it up well for us today. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, writing to the Philippian believers, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? I wonder, is that true of you? Is that a summary of the life that you live? To me to live. Can you make those words your own testimony today? To me to live is Christ. It's clear that the life of the believer should be Christ-centered. And today, brethren and sisters, we want to think of that subject as we look at Stephen's life. And we want to consider from Stephen's example in the Word of God, we want to look at the marks of a Christ-centered life. The marks of a person who is really living their life for the Lord, living the Christian life as it ought to be lived. You'll notice, first of all, the first mark of a Christ-centered life is that you speak of Christ. If you look there at verse 52, especially the end of the verse 52 says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now, or ye have been now, the betrayers and murderers. So Stephen was speaking about Christ. He was preaching about the Savior. And that was often the case, if you read the details that are given to us in the Word of God of this man. He was a man, and as he was living the Christian life, that meant for him telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you to remember this, brethren and sisters, that you live where you do, you work where you do, you shop in the places that you go to for this reason. Because there are people there that God wants you to be a witness to. God wants you to speak to about his son. Can I ask you, were you faithful in that task of speaking for Christ during this past week? Did you seize, did you use the opportunities that the Lord gave to you? Remember what Paul said to the Romans, faith cometh by hearing. That means if people are to be saved, if they're to be brought to faith in Christ, they need to hear. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Christ. And that's our task. That's the duty that the Lord has given to us. We're to speak for Christ and speak of Christ. I have a book with the title, Don't Wait Until They Are Dead. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we procrastinate. We put it off. We wait too long. And then the person's gone, taken from this scene of time. And there's then no hope of ever speaking to them or witnessing to them of Christ and the need of their soul and their need of salvation. Some of you will remember when the Reverend McDermott was here and gave his testimony, he told that he served in the police with a man that he was very friendly with. In April 1974, he was on duty with that man. He thought about the need of that man's soul, but he didn't witness to him that day when the opportunity arose. And a few weeks later, that man was killed. And he has great regrets of that even to this day. So the warning is, brethren and sisters, don't put it off. Don't put off speaking to that loved one, that friend, that neighbor. Don't put it off until it's too late. Don't wait until they're dead. Now, I know it's not easy. We're all aware of that. Times you don't know what to say. Times you struggle. Times the words don't just come out the way you want. They don't come out right. But those are things that we all need to make a matter of prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that during this incoming week. Pray for opportunities this week to speak for Christ. You know that little verse we sometimes hear, lead me to some soul today. Make that your simple prayer. And if you're earnest in that prayer, God will answer it. So pray for opportunities. And if you pray, they will surely come, brethren and sisters. Think of what Paul said to the Colossians, that God would open a door of utterance. It's not a tremendous way to put it. That God would open a door, an opportunity of utterance, an opportunity to speak, to say something for the Savior. And don't just pray for the opportunities, pray for the ability. That little verse goes on, lead me to some soul today and teach me, Lord, just what to say. Give me the right words. Give us wisdom. Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesian believers, asked them to pray that utterance may be given unto me. And we need that utterance. We stumble. We stammer to get out the right words. So ask God to touch your lips. Ask God to give you the message for that person and the message for they are. So the first mark of the Christ-centered life is speaking of Christ. The second one is to serve Christ. Because remember that this man was a deacon. The word or the term deacon means a servant, one that's a servant of Christ, one that's a servant of the church. And Stephen was a man whose life was marked by service. Remember what we're told back there in chapter 6, when the office of the deacon was established, he was one of those that served tables. In other words, in the lowly task, the lowest form of service that could be thought of, that could be imagined. Do you remember those words of Mr. Moody to young R.A. Torrey when he first met him? Young man, you had better get to work for the Lord. And I want to say that to every Christian in the meeting today. Get to work for the Lord while you still have opportunity. Need to redeem the time God has given to us upon this earth. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your opportunities. There's an old saying, you're familiar with it, I'm sure, that some are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. That may be the case. But you know what is more often the reality, brethren and sisters, that some Christians are so earthly minded, they're of no heavenly, no spiritual use. In other words, they're too taken up with this world. And remember, that's in essence what worldliness is. To be too taken up with this world that you have no time to think or to labor for the next world, for the things of God. So I want to say to you today, this church needs workers. There are jobs to be done to help with the spread of the gospel. The Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. And the Lord's still seeking for workers. He's still seeking for men and women. There are gaps. There are opportunities. There are roles that you can fulfill. There are tasks that you can be involved in. God needs workers to come forward for the cause of the gospel. Remember that famous picture of Lord Kitchener during the war with his finger out, your country needs you. Well, the reality is that the church, your church, needs you. The Savior challenged, or in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, there's those challenging words that he used of the man that came and he found the men standing. He said, "Why stand ye here idle all the day?" And there's some Christians like that. The Lord will have to bring that rebuke to some of the Lord's people. Why do you stand idle? Why have you been careless about service, not getting involved, not doing anything? The Lord would say to you today, "Son or daughter, go work today in my vineyard." So I want to challenge you to be like Stephen. This mark of the Christ-centered life, to be a servant, to be in the service of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember the words that Ruby Gray, the missionary to the Congo, had written inside her Bible? Can impress them on your heart again today. "I have only one life that I can give." It's good to remember that. That's a great challenge. That's a great motive for us to use the time wisely that the Lord gives to us. The third mark of the Christ-centered life is to suffer for Christ. You find that in verse 58 of the chapter. It says, "And cast him," that's Stephen, "out of the city and stoned him." Stephen suffered for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And the chapter teaches that he suffered even unto death. It is true that often Christians are afraid. They're afraid to speak for the Savior. They're afraid to serve Christ. And one of the causes of their fear is because they're afraid of what might happen, what the consequences might be, of what others might say. Can I remind you, brethren and sisters, there is a price to pay, a price to be paid for being a Christian. In reality, that's the meaning of the word disciple. Not every Christian is a disciple. A disciple is one who's willing to pay the price to go through with God, whatever the cost may be. So I stress that to you today. There's a price to be paid to being a Christian if you're going to have the marks of the Christ-centered life upon you. We may not suffer as Stephen did. We may not suffer unto death. But if you really want to live for Christ, there will be suffering as a consequence. Some have been put out of their homes, put out of their families, as a result of coming to Christ. Some have been cut out of the family will. Some have been refused employment, lost their job, not been given fair opportunity, maybe a fair opportunity at promotion. So it's true, brethren and sisters, the Christian life involves suffering. The Savior warned us of that. He said, "And he, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You think of taking up the cross. Does not imply suffering. Does not suggest to you pain. You know, the question's often asked, why does so-and-so suffer so much? They're very godly. They're a person that's on fire for the Lord. So why is it that they suffer so much? Really, you know, that's the wrong question. What we should ask is, why do some Christians not suffer? That's a question that should cause us more trouble. Because the Bible says, very plainly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who really live their lives for Christ will suffer. That is certain. That is something that is to be expected. Can I emphasize something to you, very important, that we learn from the life of Stephen? And that is that he suffered despite his strong faith. Back in chapter 6, verse 5, we're told, it says, he was full of faith. Remember, if you're full of something, you can't hold any more of it. So Stephen was full of faith, but still he suffered. And I want you to see that today. Because there are those who would teach, if you have the right amount of faith, if you live a life of faith, if you pray in faith, then you will never have any trouble. You will never endure hardship. You'll never be sick. But that idea is all wrong, men and women. It's certainly not the teaching of the Word of God. Because Stephen was full of faith. He had as much faith as any man could have. But still, he suffered. And he suffered as few Christians ever have. Let me remind you of this, as you think of that question. Faith doesn't mean you will escape suffering. What faith will do is it will enable you to endure the suffering that you have to pass through. And Stephen's life is a great example, a great illustration of that fact, because in his darkest hour, his faith enabled him to see something that sustained him. Because in his darkest hour, he saw Christ. He saw the Savior. If you were to ask today, how do we cope when the sufferings and the persecutions and the trials come? You cope, men and women, by a sight of Christ, by a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. And that's what Stephen had here. Look at verse 55 and verse 56. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So Stephen had a glimpse of heaven. Stephen, in that dark hour of his suffering, he saw the Savior. And remember, that's what happens when the godly person dies, when they come to the end of the journey. That's what encourages them as they enter the valley of the shadow. It's the heavens been opened, and it's that sight of Christ. So think of it. The stones were literally raining down on his head, but he didn't see the stones, and he didn't see his enemies. What he saw, the person that he saw, was Christ. And it was that view that kept him, that view that sustained him in his hour of great trial. And the Bible teaches that it was the same for Moses. He was suffering affliction with the people of God. Moses was experiencing the reproach of Christ, the wrath of the king, the wrath of Pharaoh. But he endured. He was able to continue to carry on as seeing him who is invisible. It was that sight by faith of Christ that sustained them through those very, very difficult times. And it's the same for us, brethren and sisters. So if you're suffering today, I want to encourage you to pray for a sight of Christ, for a vision of the Lord. Pray the prayer of those Greeks of old. Pray it earnestly. We would see Jesus. So that's the third mark of the Christ centered life, suffering for Christ. The final one I'll emphasize is that you should be the same as Christ. If you look at those two verses that we took as our text, they stoned Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's very striking as you study Stephen's life to see just how like the Lord Jesus Stephen really was. For one thing, he was tried like Christ. Because remember, he was falsely accused. He was rejected by his own people, by his own nation. He was tried within the city of Jerusalem. And then he was taken out of the city to be put to death. So he was tried like Christ. In addition to that, he died like Christ, because he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Isn't that similar to how the Savior died? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And even the way that he prayed like Christ. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Do you remember that the Savior prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Savior's prayer was answered. And the same was true of Stephen, of his prayer. Because Paul was there. Remember the passage says they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. So Paul was there. And when Stephen prayed, and he heard that prayer, and Paul was converted. So God answered Stephen's dying prayer, Stephen's dying request. So you'll see, men and women, Stephen is a man who was very like the Savior. Stephen's life reflected the person and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be true of every Christian, every child of God. Mr. Spurgeon summed it up like this, that the Christian should be a picture of Christ. Just take that to heart and meditate upon it. The Christian should be a picture of Christ. And the longer you live, the more you should be like the Savior. Remember the words of John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's emphasizing the great work of sanctification. Every day you live, more and more of Christ should be seen in the life that you live, and less of yourself. That's what Paul was emphasizing in those words that we read right at the very beginning of the meeting, to be conformed to the image of his Son. So that's God's purpose, God's ultimate purpose in your life. It's to make you like Christ. It's to make you more like his Son. But you know, there is another alternative for the Christian. The word conformed is used on another occasion in the book of Romans. In chapter 12, Paul spoke there about being conformed to the world. So there's the two alternatives for the Christian. Conformed to the image of his Son, or conformed to the world. Just consider that. Ask yourself, which is it? Which is it for you? Which of those two has been taking place in your life? So if you're living the Christian life aright, then your life must be the same as Christ. Your life must be like the Lord Jesus. So here, men and women, are some of the marks of a Christ-centered life. Here's something of what it means to live the Christian life, of what it really means to be a Christian, to be a child of God, to speak of Christ, to serve Christ, to suffer for him, and to be the same, to have a life that is a picture, that is conformed to the image of God's dear Son. So in closing, let me ask you to ponder those things, the marks of the Christ-centered life. I trust you're a Christian today. I trust you know the Lord. We do want you to go from the meeting without having your trust in Christ. But remember, if your life is not marked by these things, then the challenge is you're not living the Christian life aright. You're not living the Christian life as you ought. So pray the Lord will use his word today. Our prayer is he'll speak through it. We're going to sing a couple of verses as we finish. Number 67 in the book, Take the Name of Jesus With You. We've been thinking in one part of the message about speaking for the Savior, being a witness for him. So take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woes, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. We'll sing the first and the third verses. We'll leave out that second one. So verses 1 and 3 in the choruses, and we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
Father, we bow in your presence at the close of the meeting, asking that you'll take your word and write it upon our hearts. We pray that your Spirit will speak on to us even after the meeting is over. Help us, Father, to ponder and to consider and to meditate upon these things. We ask you to draw us after thyself. We pray that you'll continue that great work in our lives. Our desire, Father, is that others might see Christ in us. We pray that those that we meet this week will take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus. We pray, Father, for our city. We ask thee to be gracious to it. We remember even how Saul of Tarsus was converted after the death of Stephen through his witness and as a result of his prayers. We thank you, Father, for such a trophy of grace, and we would pray you'll do the same in this city of Armagh. Remember, Father, those that are far away from God today. We ask thee to have mercy upon them, save their souls, do a great work of grace and revival in this city of ours. Bring in visitors, even to our gospel service tonight. Abide with us then, Father. Grant us your good hand upon us as we leave the meeting. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again to all who have gathered today. We're very glad to have all that are present. We encourage you to remember the meeting tonight.